When did this happen?
It didn't, Uncle Chew. Not like he says.
Yeah, it did, Uncle Chew. 2 hours ago. Tall guy, weird clothes. First you see him, then you don't.
Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas! Ho, 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 ho.
Welcome to 2018 Christmas Spectacular.
2017.
Oh.
This is Ed, Elf on the Shelf, Ertelec.
And this is Andrew the Red Nose Weary.
They make no sense when they come out of your mouth, but they still work. Brian. Jingle Bell Girassi.
Feliz Navidad from Jeff Krampus Carter.
Son of a bitch.
What is your favorite Christmas toy you ever got? What's your Red Ryder BB gun? First gift you ever got?
This was a short-lived sort of best-worst scenario.
Uh-huh.
Was I had the Transformer playset.
Omega Supreme.
Omega Supreme.
Nice. I always wanted that.
And this is an extravagant gift. This is like a major blockbuster toy.
Uh-huh.
It came in this huge box. And I never had the Millennium Falcon or the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier. I never
had
got
both
like,
of those things.
Any of those.
very spoiled.
You were an only child.
Yeah.
So you weren't spoiled. You were just an only child.
I was loved.
And so I got this Omega Supreme toy set, which is a city.
Yeah.
That transforms into a giant robot.
Wow.
With like a train on a track and stuff.
The city had a motorized tank
that
rode around a track, and in the center was a rocket.
Uh-huh.
And it was just so awesome. And so I put together the city set, and then I went through the laborious 900-step process of transforming the city into Omega Supreme the robot. And the thing about Omega Supreme was, because he was built on this motorized cart, he could actually walk around.
Mm-hmm.
And almost like within 10 minutes of having the assembled Omega Supreme robot, I broke this, or a little plastic wheel broke out of his hip.
Oh, those were very fragile toys.
Very fragile. And from that point on, he could only limp and walk in circles. And it was like, oh, like my greatest glory to my greatest failure, all on Christmas morn.
Omega Supreme is invincible!
I had the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier. It was awesome. I slept on that thing the first night I had it. Just put my blanket and my pillow and slept right on it.
Yo, Joe! Me.
But the greatest thing I ever got was this thing I wanted so bad that they had, and I saw it in the Penny's catalog or something, and it was the, you guys remember an Omnibot?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, it was a little, like, a remote-controlled robot about the size of R2-D2 to a kid. You know, it was the size of R2-D2, had a bubble dome head.
Oh!
And, arms with a tray, and it had a tape player on it. You could program it to play music at a certain time.
I do remember that. And
the eyes were red, and they synced to the music when it, like, went, and you could talk through it, and then the eyes would move and stuff.
Eat lead turkey.
Yeah.
I remember.
It was the coolest toy I ever had. When I got it, I shrieked, Omnibot, and threw myself over. There's still a photograph of me, like, with just collapsed across it, like, at Christmas with the wrapping paper. Like,
asleep on top of the G.I. Joe aircraft
Sleeping on the aircraft carrier, everything like a spoiled wanted. Brat I was. And then, like, a couple years later, they came out with Omnibot 2000, and he looked like number 5. He was tall, and he had yellow eyes, and he looked like Crichton on Buck Rogers, you know? And I was like, man, I should have held up for Omnibot 2000.
That's always
the way. Because that's how freaking self-centered I was. But it was a great toy the day I got it. It was amazing.
I don't know, man. My mom's friend had one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still young enough where he was like, hey, do you want this robot?
Wow.
And
he was
going
to give it to you?
And I was like, a fucking robot? Like, I imagine, C-3PO or like a
Yeah, it's
in my child's brain, it was a fucking robot
it's
that could like talk to me and be my friend, and
it's not all that.
And it was, and it didn't even work. It was just like this thing that I could kind of put there, and it was, man, talk about shattered, like childhood dreams.
Yeah, I think eventually, I eventually fell out of love with it because you couldn't program it to do
as
much as you could program it at a certain time to like activate and come to you and everything and play a certain song.
Well, that's
pretty
cool, but
I used to play Neutron Dance on it.
Still not what I imagined when someone said they were going to give me a robot. That's still not what I had in mind.
Yeah. Well, what was your favorite
when I was seven or whatever
that you got?
Got a lot of good shit, as we were saying earlier. I got, but I always wanted more.
Yeah, that was me too.
Because
you weren't an only child, though. You had a little sister, right?
No, I had a little sister. Mm-hmm. Got a pool table one year. It was cool. It was like a miniature one.
The mini one? Those are me ones.
No, it was fun. It was cool, especially for a little kid who asks for a pool table for Christmas, like a weirdo.
You just saw shit in the catalog and you'd circle
it. I don't know. No, maybe I you know, I probably saw it on a movie or something.
Oh, look at that. Yeah,
like no matter what, if it was on TV or on movies, I wanted it.
Anything those kids in Escape from Witch Mountain had in their house, I wanted that.
So I got, there's a story that goes along with it. You know, the pool table was too big to go into the room where our Christmas tree was. So they were like, oh, hey, can you go get the thing out in the other room or whatever?
You've got Ralphie.
I went out to
I think Santa left something in
the
garage.
No, they just didn't even say anything like that. But, I went out to the other room. I got the mail or whatever it was from outside. I came back in and
on
I sat
Christmas,
back down.
You had mail.
Because I had asked for a pool table and it wasn't there under the tree.
Yeah, you got Ralphie, dog.
And so I sat down and I was like,
did you get everything you wanted,
Ryan? Like,
mostly.
So I basically walked right past it and didn't even notice that it was there.
My son did that once. We bought him a bike.
I did that a couple of times.
In the center of his bedroom. Didn't realize it was there. Okay, he went in there. He'd come home after school. Like, I don't know if he had a miserable day at school or whatever, just plotting. And we were like, go in your room and come back and everything. And he went in his room and came back. He's like, what? It's like, are you serious?
Well, then what happened when he finally realized?
He was like, oh, thank you.
Man.
It was like the worst.
But
that was
cool.
The greatest thing.
I did get a BB gun one year, and that was really cool. And I still shoot it when I go home at Christmas because it's kind of my tradition now, like shooting it at cans in the snow.
Hmm. What
don't kill
be,
any mockingbirds.
Yeah, what should be noted is that Ryan is a creature of strict tradition. Anything he does once, he does till the end of time.
It's true. Otherwise, I feel like cheated by the universe if I can't do that one thing again the next year.
I'm officially diagnosing you with obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah, maybe.
Obsessive compulsive traditionalist. Huh. What about you, Drew?
Worst thing I ever got was clothes.
Worst thing, clothes. I'll say the same.
But my birthday is in November, and for my mother that meant it was too close to Christmas to really celebrate.
Yeah, you're in that red zone. That
so,
sucks.
Yeah, so she would try to convince me that Christmas was what I really cared about because Christmas was what she cared about. And
Jesus' birthday.
Jesus or Drew?
Jesus. Drew can't turn water into wine.
That's right. It's a handy thing to have around the
house.
He
can't even pee on his own tongue.
Yeah, I know. And so basically Christmas, after my morale had been broken after my birthday, for like a whole month, I was ripe to be rebuilt on Christmas. And so,
good God.
And so I remember a few years earlier, my mother had bought me an Atari 2600.
Sweet.
Awesome. So awesome.
And then returned it to the store because she couldn't figure out how to connect it to the TV. And so
that explains a lot.
And so for this Christmas, I'm not really expecting too much, and then she has this box there. I open it, and it's like the Nintendo Entertainment System with Rob the Robot.
Here we are.
And I'm like,
and the light gun, right?
With the light gun.
Light gun and Rob the Robot.
This was the old style one where the light gun was gray instead of red.
Yep.
And I'm like, I nearly lost it. I almost forgot to open the package because I was just so spazzed out. But then I immediately remembered how she couldn't connect it to the TV.
So you grabbed the instructions.
Well, I tried to connect it, but she was afraid I would electrocute myself because I guess she had certain ideas of how electronics worked back then. And when she tried to connect it to the TV so I could start playing it, history from the 2600 days started to repeat itself.
Right.
And I'm like, no, this is going to go back too. And so the next...
This really does explain so much about Drew's love of Nintendo.
And so she basically boxed it up because she thought it didn't work.
Oh, no.
And I basically had to sneak out of my bed at night and put it together myself.
Nice, true.
And start playing it so that when she came in, she could see that, A, not only did I know how to put it together, but B, it's not broken, it doesn't need to go back, and it's already out of the packaging.
And you didn't get electrocuted.
I didn't get electrocuted.
But she did womp you for sneaking out in the middle of the night.
She was not happy about me messing with electrical outlets without her supervision.
Favorite Christmas carol? What's your favorite Christmas carol? And not the movie, the song. A song.
Jacob Marley was dead to begin with.
Oh, not that one. Oh. You've been looking forward to that, haven't
I? I would have to say Carol of the Bells.
How's that go?
Hawk, how'd your smells?
Oh, that one. Yeah, with the different... Yeah, the kids singing different octaves
it
and stuff.
Doesn't sound like your normal chippy, cheery...
It's a little sad carol. Sounding, yeah. A little and it foreboding can be almost.
Creepy at times. It's very, like... It sounds like if you were going to make a horror movie based on Christmas, that would be a song you would hear, yeah. And there would be so much flexibility with how you could orchestrate it and or arrange it.
Naughty!
And I would
did
have
you see that? Did you see Silent Night, Deadly Night?
No.
The killer would dress as Santa and yell naughty.
That's one of those video store box covers that
with the axe going down the chimney. Yeah. Uh-huh. Awesome.
I thought that was Black Christmas, but it's not.
My favorite rendition of that song, version of that song, is by Gary Hoey, where he's doing it like heavy metal style. Yeah, with the guitars and everything. And it's just, it's like, this song has a lot more flexibility, or at least it doesn't sound as weird performed in different styles as other Christmas carols.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like God Bless Ye Merry Gentlemen the best. That's my favorite. Mm-hmm. God bless ye merry gentlemen, nothing you despair. For the same reason, that it's got kind of a sad sound to it, and I believe it is the Christmas carol, like, referred to in A Christmas Carol. Like, that's what he hears them singing when he's opening, when he goes to the door knocker right before he sees the Marley face on the knocker. They're playing, like, some guys are singing God Bless Ye Merry Gentlemen.
I was always tripped out when he goes, to save us all from Satan's power.
Yeah, it's a little bit foreboding and stuff. Yeah, I like it.
I feel like some of the best Christmas stuff has that tinge of winter time, bleak horror.
Scariness.
Honestly.
So what's
your favorite? The year is ending. I mean, there is an element of death to Christmas.
So that means Jingle Bells, right?
Is Christmas like the last time of year that you can be merry before everything just withers and dies, basically?
Yeah.
It's like, you're like, well, we may not survive the winter, so let's fucking party one last time.
It's like basically, Fat Tuesday for the year.
Food is scarce.
Fat Tuesday for the winter.
Is a commodity.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming. And a lot of people want to try to start over a new leaf on the new year. Mm-hmm. So yeah, drink and be merry.
But
it's the demise of the year. Yeah.
End of harvest festivals. So, you know, you harvest in the fall, and then Christmas is about ghost stories. It's about the other solstice.
There's a song about where they tell ghost stories or something. Is it the one about the parson down in the field and all that? Sit around and tell ghost stories, something.
Ho, 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 and jingle bells and all that jazz.
And presents to pretty girls. It's the most wonderful time.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
That's the one. All I can
ghost stories.
Yeah,
scary ghost stories.
I just
associate
that with like terrible back to school commercials and stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that was a Christmas.
It's got a line about ghost stories.
Well,
that
is kind of a horror story for people who hate school.
Yeah. That's your favorite though?
No. Melikaliki Makai comes to mind again.
That doesn't really sound too foreboding and dark. And
no. My favorite carols are probably not the most foreboding ones. However, I find the Christmas content that has the most impact and import is stuff that blends the somber tone of the season with the festive, because you're celebrating the fact that it is winter, you know, it's kind of like a candle against the darkness. And if it's just summer and sunny all the time and food is plentiful,
like in Los Angeles,
then Christmas just doesn't have the
bite.
Yeah.
There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmas.
Christmas is long, long ago.
Weird.
Yeah. Most wonderful time
it's
of
the
year.
Most terrifying.
So Meliki Maka for you?
That's just a stock answer. I love Christmas carols so much that I really have a hard time choosing just one. But anything Bing Crosby, anything Burl Ives, it's all good.
I really like Bing Crosby's Littlest Angel song. I don't know if that's... I'm sure it's not his, but it's a good one. It's really sad. But
anything written by a Jewish guy for Christmas is going to be good.
Is Bing Crosby Jewish?
They're all Jewish.
The singer, man. I don't know if Bing Crosby was Jewish, but I'm sure the writer was Jewish. Most of the big Christmas carols
those
are written by
Tin Pan Alley guys. There were a couple songs that played the first year I moved to LA, like around Christmas, and so again, I like think of them every year, and I wish I could hear them. One was like a Save Ferris song, and one was a something else. I don't even remember what the song was.
It's just obsessive compulsive disorder, right?
I guess so.
You need to break these cycles.
You know, anything that is associated with any kind of joy, I think, like anything that made me feel kind of happy in a moment is like something I really latch on to.
Well, another song I liked from when I was younger was Santa Baby, because I was young and I thought it sounded pretty naughty for a Christmas song.
Yeah. You'd be right.
And so I'm like, yeah, why don't we listen to that instead of this Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Probably the greatest Christmas song of all time is Clarence Carter's Backdoor Santa.
Okay, sing it. That sounds really filthy.
It is. Insert clip here.
Santa, I make my runs about the break of day. Stroke it, Clarence Carter. Don't stroke too fast.
I like
and if my stuff ain't tight enough, you can stick it up my woo. I've been stroking. That's what I've been
doing. What
doing.
Some guy sang that at karaoke. The only time
Clarence
I've ever
Carter,
sang
Clarence
karaoke
Carter.
In
Carter.
A bar. Is that the Stroke It to the West one?
Yeah.
A stroke it to
oh
the
my
north.
God. I didn't even realize that was a real song that people had heard of.
I stroke it everywhere. I even stroke it with my woo woo. I've been stroking.
That's like, not a Christmas song.
Yeah, like my friends used to call me Clarence Carter in college.
I want to shout out to the Little Drummer Boy, too. That's a good song.
That's a fantastic.
Sure. I actually was I heard it on the radio coming home from class the other night, and I couldn't help but like sort of sing along a little bit.
Yeah, I got to
pull now,
over sometimes. And now,
every year on the 12th, Ryan's got to listen to that song.
Favorite holiday food during Christmas?
Plum pudding.
We don't really have like a Figgy traditional Christmas like dish usually. Like I think this year we're having chicken parmesan because my wife's cooking it.
Ours are just pies. Like there's always a chocolate pie and some sort of cherry cream cheese.
We used
pie.
To have fish all the time.
Fish?
But we're Catholic. But
a Christmas fish?
Yeah.
I was raised Catholic too. I never had any fish.
Yeah, but you weren't Polish Catholic.
No,
you guys
that was
have,
it.
A...
Polish Catholic. Those fuckers.
We don't have like a traditional dish or anything I can think of.
We basically just did Thanksgiving again. Usually,
we don't have the turkey. Yeah, we don't do the turkey because turkey's for Thanksgiving. We never have turkey.
You know, I'll tell you.
Every so often, my mom tries to bust out the ham, and I'm like, nope, can't do that. Sorry, go ahead, Jeff.
This may seem sacrilege, but one of my favorite Christmas foods is actually a beer. There's a small batch brew that Sam Adams makes called Old Fezziwig. And it's like a spiced Christmas beer.
Mm.
It's so good.
Comes
and
in those variety packs.
It comes
sometimes.
In those variety packs with the Scotch ale and all kinds of gross stuff. And I just want the Old Fezziwig, Morty.
You know what? There is something. It's not my family, but one of my oldest friends, Tommy O'Connor, would come over to my parents' house for a lot of Christmases, and he would cook kapusta. And
ooh, what's that?
And that was good. It was this Polish dish that was. A lot of kraut.
Intestines.
And I think there was bacon bits and sausage. And oh my God, it was so good. And we'd sit there all, we'd stay up all night playing board games or video games, whatever, and just eating that stuff. And
trying to feed it to Robbie the robot.
By the next day, we were just destroyed. Like, our colons were destroyed. But it was fantastic.
One thing that always fascinated me when I was young was the fizzy juice thing my mother would make, where later I learned that what she was doing was just taking plain old 7-Up and mixing it with fruit juice. But as a kid, I thought it was magical because I never saw her made it. All I did was taste it. And
fizzy lifting juice.
Fizzy Jesus juice. Yeah. Christmas, though. So. Oh, dude, my aunt used to make these. She would put like a Nilla wafer in the bottom and then some cheesecake on top of it and then like cherries or blueberries in like this cherry or blueberry sauce. Holy shit, those things were amazing. We lived for those at Christmas time.
If you had to name them, what would you name them?
Charles.
Nilla Nilla cheese berries. No, that sounds awful.
Nilla cakes?
That sounds like what Ed would happen to Ed after a night of Kerbragen.
Kapusta. A night of Kapusta left me with chinchilla berries.
Kapusta sounds like what happens after a night of Kapusta.
Kapusta is the sound you make in the toilet when you sit down.
You could call them
Kapusta.
It's Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. Mom's cooking chicken and collard greens. Krampus, yay or boo? And I said it in a normal voice, just for you, Jeff, because I don't know what a Krampus sounds like, I guess.
No one does.
Who does and lives?
Indeed.
I'd say yay. It's a that's a recent discovery for me. Like, I mean, in the last maybe 8 or 10 years or something.
Wait, yay? You believe in the Krampus?
Oh, do I believe in it or do I like it?
Let's take belief off the table.
Yeah. Krampus is for people who don't want to let go of Halloween, I think. But that's okay. It's cool.
But I would also argue that it is a return to tradition.
Yeah, it's just a tradition that's not well known over here.
And that it's the sweet and the sour. It's Santa brings gifts, and in most countries, he has a helper or an assistant who deals with the bad children in varying degrees of severity. Oh. And the Krampus will either hit them with sticks, or if they're really bad, put them in a cage on his back and take them away to be presumably eaten.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's a nifty thing. I don't know if it's something I would tell my kids. Like I'll foster a belief in Santa when when they're growing up, but maybe not Krampus. But it's
neat. Do your kids still believe in Santa? I mean, like, doesn't?
I don't. I'm pretty positive that my middle daughter Willow, who's 7, does not, because she just kind of is really savvy and they had Santa pictures at school just this week, and I asked Augie, my youngest, who's 6, and Willow, do you guys want to do Santa pictures? And Augie was like, yeah, and Willow was like, no.
She might just be scared of him.
It could be that. She said it seems kind of weird to her and everything, so Sandra's like, maybe she knows it's not Santa, so she like thinks it's odd to sit on a guy's lap that she doesn't know and everything. I'm like, all right, it's fine. I don't know if Augie does. He didn't ask for anything from Santa, he told me. My 13-year-old, though, she's holding on to it really hard. And I think, like, I kind of maybe went too far. Because, I hope she never listens to this now. Because it's like, I wrote letters to her every year when she wrote letters back and all this. And, like, the last year, I kind of tried to break it down and say, like, yeah, if somebody loves you and they, you know, want you to have magic in your life and all this kind of stuff, then that's because she asked to see Santa Claus at 12, you know. And I was like, if I wrote a letter saying if every kid who asked to see Santa Claus saw Santa Claus, then there'd be no reason for faith in the world and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, God.
And I went
to a religious place.
No, I just kind of went like that people should have magic in their lives and all that kind of stuff and everything. And I said, I ended it with like, I hope as you grow older, you know, there will be someone, you know, you'll love someone enough to, you know, kind of like want to foment magic in their lives too or something.
Aw. Most parents would have just said, I'm very, very busy.
And I packed with it a antique sleigh bell that I got off eBay.
Wow.
Like a big golden, like, sleigh bell that I got off
That's
eBay
amazing.
That was tarnished
and
used
yes,
and everything.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think I went a little bit too far. This is funny because we were sitting with my gaming group. And Elliot, you know, who's been on the show and everything, was just like motherfucking me. Like, dude, that's fucking stupid. Your daughter's like 12 years old. She can't believe it's Santa and all this. And it was funny because right before we sat down, like, I had intercepted her letter, like, you know, from Santa. So I had it with me and I opened it and, like, read it. And the last thing she signed off with was, like, I don't care what anybody says. I still believe in you and everything. Aww. And everybody at the table was like, oh, and Elliot was like,
shit,
dude, that's fucking sweet.
Oh, man.
So, like, he took it all back. And now, and, like, I don't, I think she must know by now, but it's like she's still holding on to it. And it's funny because I did the same thing when I was
yeah,
a kid.
Yeah, me too. Honestly, there's still a little piece of me, and this might not shock you guys, that does kind of believe a
me
little
too.
Bit.
Me too. I'm kind of like, there's always a present that's not accounted for.
For
who gave it to you?
The record, Santa is real. Just for all our listeners, Santa is real. We're not disputing
and that. And now every time she asks me, do I believe in Santa, I always say, I am not going to ever say that I don't believe in Santa. That's what my answer is.
That's an obvious cop-out.
I know, but I can't help it. I can't do it.
Is it ever okay to lie to a child? Mm. And at what point does deceiving a child do more harm than good?
Mm.
And should you just raise your children to think critically at the risk of stealing some wonder?
Okay,
Noli is whip smart in everything.
Yeah,
I mean she's very much a critical thinker. She's very much a critical thinker, like politically and all kinds of stuff, you know. But on this one thing, I guess it's like a chink in the armor that I fostered. I don't know.
Imagination is not a terrible thing.
And she has a ton. She wants to do animation. She draws like the sweetest things all day long for like a 13-year-old. She has no interest in having a cell phone. I was like, do you want a phone or something like that? And she's like, no, not at all. She was like, I do not want to be like that.
Yeah, she wants to have conversations with people.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, she really is your daughter.
Yeah. No,
no matter what that paternity test said, she raised her as your own.
There's a Rodney Dangerfield joke where he says to his kids, like, one day you're going to have kids of your own. And the kid said to me, yeah, one day you will too, Dad.
Oh, no respect.
There never came a time in my life where my parents told me there's no Santa Claus.
Honestly,
I had the conversation either.
I did have the conversation, but I was like 14 or 15 or something. And
they were
like,
it's gone on too long.
No, we were in the car, and I was like, Mom, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, do you really want me to tell you this right now? And then she told me, I forget exactly what she said to me, but I was like, no, I still think you're wrong. I refuse to believe it.
Is that some kind of meta-narrative where we preserve a bit of wonder and holiday magic for our children and also install a little camera in their mind that says, he sees you when you're sleeping?
Yeah, but
and he knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been good or bad, so be good for goodness sake. That's part of it. That really is part of it. You cannot remove that.
Mm. But you never really take it that seriously as a kid.
Speak for yourself.
Speak for myself, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, me too.
Because it's part of the Santa mythos, which is that he's a substitute Jesus, and he knows whether you're good or bad.
And my wife, as a Baptist, does not like that I did all that Santa stuff and everything.
Mm.
But
she's like, the reason for the season is Jesus, and forget Santa. And I'm like,
but is it part of the meta-narrative of creating a fantasy bubble for your children and then letting it burst and letting them because
come to it on their own,
either breaking the harsh truth to them or letting them come
make
to it
their
on their
decision.
Own. It's part of the maturation process.
I don't know if I
there are so many harsh truths in the world that I probably have to break at some point.
But then what about the idea of sparing your child from finding out?
Yeah, but then they have a childhood without joy, like that
it's not,
all
no,
of these
all
other kids.
Okay,
well they'll have joy, but like then you have the kid who's like, well, but all my friends, you know, believe in this thing and blah blah blah, and why can't I have this thing?
With Noli, it's the opposite. All her friends are like, there's no Santa Claus, dude.
Well, now, sure.
Yeah,
I don't know if I ever believed in Santa Claus. I mean, maybe at one point, but as far back as I can remember, I kind of knew that he was fake. You know,
which he's not.
Careful.
or at least
one of these kids these days. Sorry, I'm
this
sorry.
This boy needs Krampus.
We posited in Gremlins.
We can edit that.
Which I cringed when I watched Gremlins with Noli. That's how bad it was. We watched Gremlins and they did that thing. You know, that's how I found out there's no Santa Claus. And I was like, oh, I forgot about this part.
But I think.
Yeah, but I watched that from a kid and I still believed in Santa.
Yeah,
like,
me too. I was like, nah, that's bullshit. It just went right on me.
I must at this point quote it and say, what's better, a lie that draws a smile or a truth that draws a tear?
What is this?
The Life remake of Miracle on 34th Street. Okay.
Well, I think that...
You guys got to watch this movie.
I would say a truth that draws a tear.
Oh, man.
Because aside from inoculating...
Old cynical Jeff.
Inoculating your child with a little bit of mythos that then they can cultivate their critical thinking skills.
Oh, you're saying tell them there's a Santa Claus and then later...
Oh, break it to them.
It's an easy, culturally accepted starter myth that sets them on the path to critical thinking. Mm. But the Tooth Fairy or the Easter Bunny could do the same thing.
Man, I went to great lengths, still great lengths for the Tooth Fairy thing.
Well, you're obviously
money.
Yeah.
Golden dollars.
You're
in
going
our house.
Above and beyond.
That's the magic. You get golden dollars in our
wow.
house.
Are you writing letters as the Tooth Fairy?
I wrote one letter as the Tooth Fairy and this was
Noli. The Tooth Fairy doesn't write letters.
You don't know that.
This one
it doesn't.
Did.
That's how
Noli wrote a Tooth Fairy letter.
Oh man.
Asking, wanting to know what happens with the teeth, and she caught me. I'm like, Jesus, I don't know. And I was like, I wrote her another letter back in a very tiny little cramped hand, which I slid under her pillow, that said, you can only ask that question when you are going to lose your last tooth. So however long it took, you know, like when she got to the last
tooth,
totally
she
remembered.
She fucking asked that question.
Wrote
you?
The letter again. Oh, and so I had to come up with a reason. And my reason was that she collects the teeth because... She then recycles the teeth in the mouths of unborn infants. That's what I said.
Gross.
That's what everybody I tell that story says. And that's what she said, too.
So there's an economy here. Oh, man.
So she didn't have to stop believing in the Tooth Fairy. She just grew to hate the Tooth Fairy.
She was like, yeah,
I'm out.
Terrible.
I'm done.
But, yeah, that was my answer.
You know, at least the Tooth Fairy has a built-in, like, expiration date. You lose that last baby tooth, and you don't have to worry about
yeah,
if
exactly.
she's going or not.
I'm like, it's just, she's just not coming anymore because,
maybe
you know,
we should tell our children, like, there's a Santa Claus, but he only visits you until
your,
you
until
know,
your last
11.
Tooth comes out?
Yeah. Maybe I should have said
part
that.
Tooth Fairy?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. What do you, when, what's
until
the expiration?
Your last, until your first Christmas toy breaks.
I can't tell if I'm... slightly aghast
or aroused
or in awe of the lengths Ed goes to preserve magic and wonder in his household.
There's a lot.
Do you keep the teeth?
No, Sandra
he puts them in unborn children.
Yeah.
That's why he has so many
were
kids.
You not listening?
Once yeah. upon a time, I found a fucking box full of my old baby teeth. And I was like, whoa.
Under a neighbor's house.
Yeah. It was pretty gross.
Sandra keeps them. She puts them in a baggie and puts the date on them. I don't know what she does with them.
For her cloning process.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Project,
yeah.
Probably.
Hey. Yeah. I don't know. What
it's
yeah,
good
what
DNA
are you going to do?
There.
I mean, talk
I
about sentimentality. Like, I'm not going to keep my kids' baby teeth.
Yeah.
Shh.
I kept that Santa letter, though.
Well, that's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. You got to keep that. Tack it up on the fridge.
Quite a topic. Yeah. Ed, hats off to you.
Santa hats off to you.
Santa hats off to you.
Black Santa?
Oh, yeah.
Peter?
What do you guys think about Black Santa?
Just a Black Santa Claus or his helper, Peter? What's it?
No, not Black Peter. There has been in the past controversy over whether or not Santa can be black or should be black. Should everyone get their own Santa or should everyone conform to a single Santa standard?
Well, I mean, it's like Megyn Kelly said, Santa is white, Jesus is a white man too. If we're really debating the ethnicity of fictional characters, it's not to saying that Santa is fictional.
No,
but,
Santa is real.
Thank
but,
you.
Like, we all know that Jesus was from the Middle East.
Right.
So seeing him with blue eyes, blonde hair is...
Santa's Turkish or something, isn't
he
too?
Yeah.
An actual person.
I think Saint
Nicholas?
The original Saint Nicholas is like Greek or Turkish or something.
Mm. I mean,
lots
wait,
of chest
did I say
hair.
Santa or did I say Jesus?
You were talking about Jesus.
Both.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, both.
No, you
well,
were
no,
articulating
I just,
your point
yeah,
well.
Yeah,
so
I interrupted with Santa's
and
Turkish.
Santa can be for whoever, can represent whoever wants to appreciate the mythos of him.
Sure.
Right.
I mean, the idea that you can have this thing that's supposed to bring good cheer and joy, but no, only if you appreciate it in this way makes no sense because that's excluding certain people and it doesn't I don't think it matters. I don't.
Well, can you have it both ways? Can you say that representation matters, mm-hmm. but it doesn't matter either way?
Santa is colorblind.
If yeah. Doctor Who can be a woman, Santa Claus can be a black man.
Oh, I agree. I love Black Santa because mm-hmm. I think Santa is bigger than the idea. I mean, he's not even mortal. Yeah. Santa yeah. is an immortal creature. He's bigger than one person, race, or ethnicity. But then you think, oh, well, he's from the North Pole. Maybe would he be a little more Icelandic, or would it be more Inuit?
I guess the question is, who are these people that think it's a controversy?
Because people I don't who grew up kind of with blue-eyed Santa decorations,
but
and who are
no
like
one,
stuck in the past, I guess.
But no one's telling those people that they can't enjoy blue-eyed Santa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think the problem comes where they want other people to enjoy it the same way they enjoy it,
right?
And
saying you can't enjoy a different kind of Santa.
Yeah, and that's bullshit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm a little ambivalent about it in that I love Black Santa or Asian Santa or what have you, but I also like the idea of someone who's, you know, like me, who's not black, also getting excited about Black Santa because it's
yeah.
Santa.
Mm-hmm.
But then why can't someone who's not white not enjoy white Santa?
Mm.
We should get...
should it be bigger than color? Should it not have to conform to your identity?
I think at this point, Santa is a concept.
Oh, absolutely.
And that concept can fit whatever...
A white concept.
Well, wasn't... our modern Santa was shaped by the Coca-Cola Corporation in, like, the 50s.
Sort of like how it seems like vampire and...
So
werewolf.
Santa's whatever they think he looks like. Oh, werewolves. Wait,
Santa
go ahead.
Vampire and werewolves, how there seems to be a certain standard of what those, like, monsters are. But whenever you see a new movie where someone tries to redefine what it means to be a vampire or whatever, I think that I can redefine Santa, at least in my own life, to be a man who can, or woman, or
shapeshifter.
Whatever. Yeah, who can basically travel the entire world in a single night, magically get into other people's house, eat all the cookies and milk that's left out for them, and somehow survive and find room in it, and have enough gifts for everyone in the world on a sleigh carried by 8 flying reindeers, can basically, at the same time, be whoever is in the minds of the people he visits.
So Drew, you just fucked up because you brought vampires into it. And I'm sick of these daywalking vampires. I will not have you bringing
these...
You're
sick of Blade?
Nambi...
But you want to live in Blade World.
Yeah. Blade's not a full vampire, though.
He's a daywalker, though.
He's a daywalker.
He's the daywalker.
He's
the daywalker.
Oh.
He's Dampier. He's half vampire, half mortal. All the strength and none of their weaknesses. Jesus Christ, don't make me come across this table.
So,
don't even, now you brought Blade into it.
To put a nail on this coffin, I think we need to...
Oh, put a stake in its heart? Stake of holly?
I think we need to get on the horn Holly's to the Coca-Cola company about retconning Santa as a ball of living energy.
Hmm, with a beard.
The end.
African vampires would travel through the sky as
balls of energy. I've heard that, yeah.
Santa's a vampire.
Oh,
case closed.
Geez. I don't necessarily want to sing a song about peeing on your tongue, but I do feel like...
That's the one. That's the pole.
Ah, jeez. That's the nut.
It's the uniform.
Oh, no. My tongue stuck to a pole. It's something to dismay.
To save us all from Satan's power.
I'll have to pee upon my tongue on this Christmas day.
Well, pull up the lyrics. Don't pull up the... Oh, you got them.
No, yeah, I'm looking for them.
And if my pee should freeze upon exiting my pee hole.
It will join you in a yellow beard, yellow beard. That's a long song, dude.
It is, yeah.
I feel like I was really giving it a Herculean effort
there. It was nice. Go to Good King Wenceslas if you don't mind.
My tongue is stuck to this pole. And it really hurts. I don't know what I shall do.
And my
Yet
urine
my urine spurts.
Drew's mom told him there was no cause. and he was real sad, but he knew it all along, so it wasn't too bad. He scoped out the Nintendo and hooked it up real good.
He did not electrocute himself, although she thought he would. No, son Drew, I must tell you, this Atari's going. It did not hook up to the TV. This Atari does not work. It does not hook up well. I will return it to the store. Oh, fuck, hell. Shit. We got it. We have to have a lyric about the Atari.
Yeah. Okay. Wait a second. What was the prior lyric that I did so masterfully? Oh, wait, that we all did so masterfully?
You hooked it up.
Nintendo.
Good.
Hooked up. Boy. I'm going to beat you black and blue. Because you snuck out late.
But, mother, I have the light gun. And I work it so great. Watch me shoot all the ducks. And the dog goes hunting.
Unfortunately, R.O.B. the bot sucks. I heard ducks and I just really wanted to say sucks. I wanted to say the robot sucks.
You, wait. Okay, one
Young
more time.
Drew, look.
Roll back that last lyric you got.
Young Drew looked beneath the tree and saw him an Atari. His mother tried to hook it up and did not get too far. She returned it to the store.
And he was so sad then.
Why'd
Sorry,
you
were you going to do a thing?
She returned it to the store because it was broken. Young Drew...
You didn't
saw
have anything, you
happen,
son of a bitch.
And he was heartbroken.
You can't rhyme broken with broken.
I just did, bitch. Now we know what makes Drew work. Why his thumbs are calloused.
On the stormy seas of life, Nintendo is his ballast.
That is, ooh, sing it, though.
Can you
actually sing it?
What did I say?
On the stormy seas of life, Nintendo is his ballast.
On the stormy seas of life, Nintendo is his ballast.
Okay, but sing it like this. On the stormy seas of life, Nintendo is his ballast.
This is the one I always fuck up. On the stormy seas of life, Nintendo is his ballast.
No, you fucked it up again.
I know. I don't fucking know how to do that part. You sing
on
it.
No,
it has to be Ed. Because he hasn't, because we need his voice in here. Ballast. It's easy. Right.
On the stormy seas of life, Nintendo is his ballast.
No!
I added another syllable.
All of this is going in.
Why did it have
all
to be
those
that
stormy
part?
Seas of life.
Ballast.
All right.
It's so easy.
Medium, high, medium.
Shut up. All right. On the stormy seas of life, Nintendo is his ballast.
Yeah!
He plays the video games, and he sees the chalice that he got from the Atari game system. It's the best lyric. Ryan can fuck himself.
I liked where you're going.
I didn't like where you're going, but I liked where you wound up.
Find us at sixdemonbagpodcast.com, sixdemonbagpodcast@gmail.com, Facebook and Instagram, and on Twitter at sixdemonpodcast.
This is Ed. If you want to find more about me, you can look up my blog, emertilek.wordpress.com, Delirium Tremens, or Facebook. I'm there all the time.
This is Jeff. You can find more at Carter Wrote It on Facebook and Twitter.
This is Drew. You can find me on Twitter at GenFactor.
You can find me, Ryan, on YouTube at 20th Century RG with the number 20. Ed, will you Tiny Tim us out?
God bless us, everyone.
Okay. Don't whisper it, though.
Oh. God bless us, everyone. A little Malcolm McDowell there.
That was a lot of, yeah, something in there.
God bless all our droogs. And Chelovex.
Everyone.
Time for some Christmas welly, raping. Welly,
well.
Time for a little of the old in-out love.
Real savage.
Time for the Christmas ultra-violence.
Real horror show.